Hey guys, good to have everybody back again. And of course, we'd like to have you guys check us out on
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, of course, is also another good place to find us.
Yeah, well, The Valley Outdoors, Valley Outdoors on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And that is where you'll also, The Valley Outdoors is where you'll find what, Don? Fish with us.
You will have an opportunity just to scroll down and you'll see a really nice photo of a boat out there in the water. And to the right of that, there's a orange button, bright orange button. Push on that and get registered to have an opportunity to go fishing with us for 4 days.
Yep.
Up on Kabatogama and Namakan Lake in September.
Yeah.
All the details are there. All you got to do is get yourself a fishing license and join us up there. And you're going to get a chance to fish with Eric in the boat, maybe even me.
Yeah. Got a couple Vexuses up there we're going to have. So it's going to be good. It was fun last year.
Had a great time.
You know what? I have to admit, just having the fun of having somebody in the boat that can learn something like that.
Yep.
Afterwards, you learn tying rigs, tying whatever. If you have questions about fishing, that's what I do. It was a really enjoyable time last time. And the guys, of course, I can't guarantee it, but we had, I think, two of the three guys had personal best record or personal best fish. And walleyes were...
So if you want to learn, it's a great opportunity just to go with some guys that have got some experience, been on the water a few times.
It's always enjoyable. No question about it.
We eat good.
Yeah.
We'll eat steak.
I know.
And walleye.
Yep. So I like it.
What more do you want?
No question about it. No question about it. I'm in. I think this woman, I think after her adventure in out on Florida, on the waters of Florida, probably would be much rather wanting to go up with us in Ashkenam. A woman of 73 years old, young, whatever, stabbed by a 100-pound sailfish that leapt from the water off the Florida coast. The 100-pound sailfish jumped out of the water off the Florida coast and stabbed the 73-year-old woman as fellow fishermen were attempting to reel it in. That's the worst part. She was a bystander.
Well, she wasn't even behind the reel, huh?
Carolyn Perkins of Arnold, Maryland, was injured after sailfish struck her in the abdomen and with its bill. And according to a report from the sheriff's office, the attack occurred. She was standing in a boat while her two compatriots tried to pull the fish in on a fishing line and take a picture. The sailfish jumped out of the water and stabbed her while she was standing next to the center console of the boat. The incident took place about 2 miles offshore of Stuart, Florida, on the Atlantic coast, right off, not too far north of Palm Beach. The 75-year-old companion of hers and the 77-year-old other friend applied pressure to the wound. She was transported to the hospital for treatment, and her condition was not reported. The woman told deputies the attack happened so fast she didn't have time to react, and therefore the results were as they were. Sailfish are obviously one of the fastest species in the world, and just like swordfish, they feature the extended pointed bill. The fish is almost always released, although Florida regulations allow fishermen to take one per day with a minimum length of 63 inches.
Have you ever fished for sailfish?
No, I have not.
I have. And, you know, obviously this group was not guided, because typically when... you get a sailfish, any billfish, close to the boat.
Touch the leader, that's...
Well, no, they're going to take... They literally... I did it in Costa Rica, and they advised to go to the front of the boat when they would get the fish
close,
near to the boat. And they never, ever attempted to bring it in the boat. They would...
Grab the bill.
They would grab the bill. Once you got a hold of the bill, then it was safe. Even if it jumped, you could, you know, keep it away from you.
Yeah.
And the same thing with... even with tuna. I caught a fairly large tuna. And with the rod, they had me go to the back of the boat because they put it in the front instead of the back of the boat. And they can break your leg just flopping around. They're massive muscle. But billfish, we caught marlin and we caught sailfish. And in no case did we try to put it in the boat. They would allow you to, if they get a hold of the bill, they'd hold it over the edge. And then you could lean over the boat and take a picture if you wanted.
Yep, exactly. And those fish... What I laugh about the story is the woman was attacked. She wasn't attacked.
She was impaled.
She happened to be at the right place at the wrong time,
right,
is what it is. So it's not a matter of he singled her out and was attacking.
No.
But that's how
That's how it was written.
The written article is, and it's sad how, you know, you look at that kind of thing and you're like, really?
No, I mean, sailfish jump. Big time.
Oh,
and they tail dance. It ends up just coming in the boat.
They will tail dance, and yep. I've seen several of them where guys in a fighting chair and it full speed ran right at the boat and jumped right over the back of the boat, narrowly missed him.
Yep.
One guy ended up jumping out of the boat.
Sure.
Story for you, speaking of which, same kind of concept. So in England, when I went to England, I did some interviewing of people, and one gentleman was fishing a tournament. Now, they fish tournaments differently. This is a shore fishing tournament. So you get X number of yards of shoreline. And in this particular league of fishing, they draw a number. Let's say you get 12. So they count out 12th spot is this particular, maybe it's a 60, 80, 100-yard stretch of beach. That's your stretch.
Right.
Each fish is classified as a given amount of poundage, and therefore points. If you go over it, you get bonus points.
Is that the one where they use the real long poles?
Yes.
Okay.
Long casting, the whole deal. So each category of fish has a different point basis. So if you get a sole, you get this. If you get whatever, right? So anyway, the championships are held on the English Channel. And what they do is they go fish deep water, and they catch all sorts of fish. Well, a lot of times they'll catch these eel.
Okay.
And I'm talking, these are 8 feet, 10 feet long. But they're this, Don, they're about a foot top to bottom.
Right.
And their jaws are
the same.
And they, if they bite, you're done. So what they do, they get these things, they gaff them, they open up the lid in the back end of the boat. Everybody backs, pulls forward, they gaff it, they pull the fish in, this eel, and it gets into the bottom of the boat. Then what they have to do is they say, as soon as the fish is in there, they slam the door and they have everybody stand in the lid. The fish, the only way that they can get that fish in, because it's a delicacy as well,
sure.
It's legal, it beats itself to death. If they didn't stand people on that, it would pop the door open and it would get out. It's that dramatic.
Wow.
I had no idea. And here's
you,
me.
You
I'm
saw
like,
this happen?
Well, no. I talked to the gentleman who was interviewing him for a different radio show back then. And I'm telling you what, it was scary. Just imagine that methodology. But yeah, they go out in the offshore for the championships, and that's what they're doing. They're fishing for these deep, in these deep wrecks. They'll vertical jig,
sure.
And they come up with some of the most, you said, the craziest fish you've seen, and big.
Right.
So, yeah. Breaking legs, that's exactly what happens when you get those things in a boat and they're not tired out.
Right.
That's why a lot of them, tuna, they'll tie them off at the back of the boat and drag them until they're
let them fight.
Expended, and then they can bring them in. But yeah, after that point, it makes it extremely difficult. So yeah, a lot of fun though, Don. Varied techniques is one of those things that comes up to play. So that's how we, I think we call it. I don't have a problem with the walleye though.
No, I haven't had one that's scared me yet.
No. Well, tell you what, we are going to be right back after this. We're going to talk a little bit about picking the right spinner blade and some other things that'll be kind of fun. Stay tuned. Be right back. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Crimp sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Hey, Don.
Hey.
I have to make sure last week, you know, we had talked about having Greg Sherrill on from Sherrill Marine. And really talk about a unique propulsion system, propeller that has come out. And it has taken the marine industry by storm, to say the least. the numbers that the thing is turning out is amazing. We'll talk with him. I tried to get a hold of him today. He texted me. He says, I can't. I'm literally unreachable except text because he's out product testing out on the West Coast. Then he proceeded to send me a photo of the fish he's catching. And I said, product testing, huh? But they are out there doing some product testing. I'll leave him to tell us exactly who he was with and the results of that. But really cool. And a guy that gets the industry and really does enjoy the outdoors as well. So kind of a cool combination. But we'll be talking with Greg next week and looking forward to it. So sorry to disappoint you guys if you were hanging in waiting for Greg Sharrow to talk. But next week he will be on it. And it will be a story you will want to listen to because it does change boating in general as far as efficiencies and sound and everything else. So we'll be hearing from them on that. So hang tight in there. Sorry we couldn't get him on. Let off the show, little spinnerbait stuff.
Last week we did, and then we never got back to it. So yeah, let's do it.
We just ramble, Don.
Yeah, well, sometimes we get lost.
So we're covering the spinnerbait, how to select the proper spinnerbait. Do you have a favorite?
I do. I usually use a double willow blade. You know, a larger one on the top, smaller one on the second one, and then usually a 3/8. And I'm typically only using it when I'm fishing in Canada for pike. It seems to be on fly-ins, you don't take a lot of tackle with you, so a couple of spinner baits in the bucket, and that's about it.
Well, let's get to really why spinner baits work, because a lot of people want to know why do they work.
Well, there's a lot of there's a lot of vibration that's going on, a lot of flashing. So you got visual sense, and then you also have the vibration that's coming through the water, and
the first one, it's a great point. Lonnie Stanley from Stanley Baits, he's the one that kind of helped contribute to some of this, the article. But obviously they feed with their lateral line and they feel plenty of thumps, so they're attracted, number one. Number two, they're also sight feeders. So there's a lot of flash and it imitates a school of minnow. And being aware what they're feeding on is also going to change that color skirting or the blade itself that you're looking at. And also making sure that you have that at the right depth in the water column, and something that goes too far over their head isn't going to work. That's where they call slow rolling a spinnerbait, meaning you're slow rolling it down, down, down over the top of either whatever the structure might be, top of the weeds, so you're not in them, but they will come up and just crush it at that point. If you're running across the top of the surface and the weeds are down 10 feet, they're not going to come up for it generally.
Spinnerbait is very versatile, because you can run it at every different level. You can run it on the surface and whop, whop, whop it as well. So if you're doing bass, that's what you typically do.
Exactly.
One of the presentations.
Exactly. One of the things it's funny that comes out, he says a willow leaf doesn't thump hard as a Colorado or Indiana blade. Right. That's why I really do like to have a willow
on the top
and a Colorado on the bottom. I get bigger thump, but I still get the same reflection. The only thing is it's more difficult to pull it because a willow leaf, same thing holds true in pulling crawler harnesses. You control faster crawler harness with a willow leaf. You don't have that resistance that pulls that bait so hard, and it effectively really lets that bait work. So you get the combo there. You need a little bit slower retrieve, but nonetheless, it works well. Now, the other thing is you're going to find that Indiana blade, while it doesn't have the cup of the Colorado, isn't as elongated. It's kind of the in-between blade. It still gives you a thump, but it's not as hard as a Colorado, but yet still gives you kind of that easier movement through the water column. So depends on what the fish are looking for at that point. And you'll find some of the other elements that are in, such as 3/8, as you said, or half-ounce spinner plates, the same thing. So there's also some less conventional that are out there. And you'll find that there's two number four blades, and you can return it faster. So that's a very small blade. And when using more than one blade, they say it's critical to be aware of how each one impacts the other. So if you're running them head to head, the blade in the front kills 30% of the vibration of the other one.
Oh, sure.
That's how detailed they're getting. So one of the things here that's really kind of, in my mind, one of those elements that you kind of work with.
I always look at a spinner blade as something to really have some fun with, because they all run so much different. I mean, you can just, if you're fishing for pike, you can throw spoons, but it's not near as active as it is with a spinner blade.
No, and I think the other thing I like about spinner blades, you can take inexperienced anglers, and they don't have to know anything about it, and they can retrieve. You just guide them on how fast and how slow to retrieve.
Yep.
And then if a fish hits it, you set the hook. That's one of those that you can get kids going on, and you don't have to worry about how, when, what, where. It just throw it, and if they're beginning casting, you're generally, everything's kind of protected. You're not going to throw a hook and hook somebody with it generally. It still can happen. So I think that, in my mind, is really a big thing as well about spinner blades and spinner baits, as it were. And then for me, the skirts, I have favorite skirt color. Number one is going to be blue and white, and number two is going to be a green pumpkin. Those are two of my favorite. And lastly, I like black jigs. I like black spinner baits. The same exact thing. Dark water, dark lure sometimes works really, really well. And yeah, again, what is it?
Actually, in 1987, when we had the Governor's Fishing Opener in Fairmont, Minnesota, the guy that won had the most fish was using a spinner blade for walleyes.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's crazy.
He was running them right above the weeds.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
One of the new ones they came out with, they started a new one. They called it an Okeechobee Special. They run a number 7 and 8 blade, and that basically imitates that giant shiner they have.
Sure.
Because you know how big those fish are in Lake Okeechobee.
Yep.
They're monsters. So throw a spinner blade out there like that, and again, they're matching what is really in there as far as the bait, and they're not afraid to eat big bait.
Nope.
So kind of cool. Story you're going to like, Don. First time exhibitor wins best of show at ICAST.
Well, tell us what ICAST is first.
It's the international, it's a tackle show really what it is, but it introduces all of the latest and greatest, anything, everything from everywhere in the world shows up in Florida.
For fishing.
For fishing, and you're going to see whatever that might be, new tackle, everything is new that's introduced for next year, this next summer, is there.
Right. It's in essence, you know, I went to the SHOT Show, which is a shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show. It's
yep.
only for distributors and retailers. It's the same thing in the fishing industry as the ICAST.
Exactly. And this particular deal with the first-time exhibitor won best in show. Name is Brian McKinnon and Phil McKinnon and Jack Arbor of a company called Packback. They rock the ICAST show in Florida as the newcomer in the business from Anchorage, Alaska, and they won best in show. Pretty cool. So we'll talk a little bit about that next week, Don. We'll wrap it up. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We are the Valley Outdoors. Don, myself, and thanks, Jack, for backing in, stepping and helping out. And we will see you guys next week. See you. Bye.